As you're standing, would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Joel in the Old Testament at chapter 1, the book of Joel, right after Hosea, just before Amos. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days before? Or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten, and what the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten, and what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, and you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion. He has the fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth, for the husband of her youth, the grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is waste, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine is dried up, the oil fails. Be ashamed, you farmers, wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because of the harvest of the field, has actually perished. The vine has dried up, the fig tree has withered, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered, and surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, you who minister to my God, for the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods. Storehouses are in shambles. Barns are broken down. Grain has withered. How the animals groan. The herds of cattle are restless because they have no pleasure. Even the flocks of sheep suffer punishment. O Lord, to you I cry out. For fire has devoured the open pastures, and a flame has burned all the trees of the field. And the beasts of the field also cry out to you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the open pastures. Did you know that Atlanta's mayor is reporting they have less than 90 days of water? And all over America, they're just releasing this information. If you saw AOL, if you look at AOL, it gave all these lakes how dry they are and how many years it would take for it to get back to normal. And some lakes are so dry they can't even get boats on them, and the boat docks are up out of the water. But the major cities, we've been warned in San Diego, and then this fire came. We're in a really precarious position. And I find it interesting that the Lord has called a holiest sacred assembly all this week here in this gymnasium, but it doesn't stop here in this gymnasium, because we've called across the country, and it is exciting to see that from Boston to Seattle, churches will be with us joining in prayer, calling on God. The largest group of churches that we've ever signed up before. And last time we did this in the spring, we had over 15 countries, and I think 41 of the 50 states joined in, and this is even going to be larger. The Lord speaks in mysterious ways, and we just had this devastation, and I'm not saying that this devastation and this fire was from God, but it is interesting, as we saw on Wednesday night, that the Russian bombers are up again patrolling and coming off our Alaskan coast with nuclear weapons on them and being driven away. And we've been warned by their leader to not intermingle if Turkey goes into Iraq in the next few days or weeks. We're in precarious times. And in the New Testament, it says in the last days, there'll be perilous times and men's hearts will fail them. And it is interesting that there's no way to turn. Every part of government is really bankrupt. And to do a little thing like one fire in 1 week is just amazing to see how the resources were stretched. And now we know there are 5 people in custody and more that the FBI is looking for. And we know that Al-Qaeda said that one of the things that they would use against us would be fire. There are many things going on that most people are asleep to. And when Joel was alive and he cried out to all the people, the giving has stopped in God's house. The ministers wail because of it. People are consumed with their alcohol and they're consumed with everything but the Lord. And God has pulled his hand back from his people. So call for a solemn, holy, sacred time. Now, I don't know if you've ever fasted. To me, fasting isn't getting away from TV or stopping magazines. It's stop eating, drink water. If you've never fasted, you can go on the internet on our website and you can see how to fast. But this is a time to really get deep with God. He wants to get deep with us. So let's do just exactly what he's asked us to do here and put it together in our hearts that we could hear him and see him. Because everything we're holding on to is ultimately going to burn up. There's nothing to be holding on to right now. His son is ready to come back. So Father, as we look at Joel's trumpet blast to the entire nation, we thank you that this is a week that you have set aside for us and thousands of people in so many churches throughout the United States and Mexico and South America and Central America, throughout Europe and Asia that are joining in with us all along the East Coast and the Midwest. We pray, Jesus, that you'll hear the prayers of all of these people, and we pray that you would use it to turn things around for your honor and your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. By any chance, Kathy Delaney, are you here anywhere? It was an interesting interaction she had, and I couldn't tell the story as well. Horizon USA set up the Children's Care Center at the Rancho Bernardo Evacuation Center. And President Bush happened to walk down that hallway and see all the kids and see the Horizon people that were there with their Horizon USA shirts. And he was just asking, what was this all about? And she told him how that her pastors had served at Ground Zero and had a vision that more things were going to be happening around the country where Christian community should be involved, and how that there were hundreds and hundreds all over the county right now from our church and so many of the other churches. And he was really blessed by it. He had to have his picture taken. He said, I want a picture. And she'll tell you the story next week, hopefully. In times like you and I are facing right now, fear can grip you. And if you were living in Joel's time, many of these people, fear didn't grip them. Their hearts were hardened. I have a friend that has a very large family this week that I found out is having an adulterous affair. And he has no fear at all. Knows exactly what he's doing. He knows it's exactly wrong. He's willing to lose his 5 children, his beautiful wife, to carry on this affair. I'd like to punch his teeth out, to be quite honest with you. He has no fear of God right now and admits it. You know, God, when he's through and there's no going back. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding, the Bible says. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in Joel's time, the people had lost the fear of the Lord, and it showed in their worship to God. It showed in their giving to God. It showed in their interaction with one another. And it showed that they walked away from God's commandments. And then he began to show, your economy is drying up. The weather patterns are changing. In fact, in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, they were warned if their nation of Israel turned from God, that they would have problems with water supplies. They would have problems with every kind of food. In fact, Elijah was used by God in the Old Testament to call God to close the heavens up for 3.5 years that a drought came. And the lakes dried up. And then in James, who was born of Joseph and Mary, lived in the same house with Jesus. James told us that Elijah was a man of like passions, just like every other human being. But he was a righteous man that sought the Lord. And when he prayed, the heavens were shut up. And after 3.5 years, he prayed again. And the heavens stopped. Or opened, and opened up the rain, and the rain came. And I find it very interesting that God would use the physical elements around us because we are so physical. And it's the physical that the devil seduces us with to think we're having pleasure, but it's the physical that God will say to our senses, something's up, and we respond. There is no fear in love, the scriptures say in John, 1 John 4:18, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. Now, my week, along with many of yours, has been a busy week. And being a chaplain for the San Diego Sheriff and a chaplain for San Diego Police, I was switching back and forth uniforms and hats and helping both sides. And we'd heard that the Valley Center was burning down, basically, that it was just on fire like crazy. And I happened to be at that time when we heard that over at the Poway Emergency Center at City Hall. And I was listening to the debriefing coming from the assistant city manager, or from the city manager. And I was listening to all that was going on in that area and how the houses were burning in Poway. And just the stress of people. And then I saw all the Horizon people over in the rec center with the elderly and with the children, loving them. And then there was a huge team at Qualcomm Stadium that established the children's center down there and was working with the elderly until the Parks and Recreation could get up and take that over. And I watched all these Horizon people move around the county. So I went to one of the people in charge of food at Poway, and they loaded my car with food because we had told the deputies we're actually splitting from the substation. Now, we have a Horizon Christian Fellowship right on the main road there and meets on the main road there in Valley Center. So we were concerned about that. But when we got there, somebody had gotten through in, with sandwiches, but we were driving through the flames, actually. And the highway patrol was happy to see us. And when we saw they had some sandwiches, that was great. But I started asking the cops and firefighters and the people at the substation, what time do you get off? And they said, well, my shift is going to be around 4:30. I said, you probably want to stay. And he said, why? And I said, well, because you're getting tri-tip steak dinner tonight. And double shift stayed for the tri-tip dinner. We were able to help supply over 300 meals a day out there for those workers. You know that one day on the news it told about a firefighter. He'd been up in the Ramona area 48 hours with a couple of bottles of waters and a paper bag with a sandwich in it. And you may not think of these things when they're going on, but these guys, these men and women, they go nonstop and they're stretched. I mean, they're stretched. And I took Dr. Sally, who heads up our medical teams for Horizon USA and for the festivals, and Mickey and I went out there, and he had his fire suit on, and I had my sheriff suit on, and we were able to go wherever we want, but to see the heartache. Now imagine this, we're standing in the parking lot, and there's a police chaplain standing there that I know, and there's some deputies standing there that I know, and right at the end of that parking lot, 4 years ago to the very day, a family at the end of that road had the flames coming to burn their house down. Mom and dad got in one car. You probably read this in the news and heard it. The three kids got in another car, the teenagers, and trying to get through the smoke, they spun out and hit a tree. And the chaplain was standing at the end of the parking lot from here to the other side of this gymnasium, and he wanted to run to the car, and as he did, the blast of fire encompassed the car. The teenagers didn't get out. Mom and dad were found in front of the building, you know, heaving. Nobody could get near that car. And he was standing there reliving that 4 years to the day. And mom and dad's house was right there in the middle of the new flames that were coming. Can you imagine the agony of that mother and father and the pain and the suffering? If there's anybody anywhere that would imagine or understand it, it would be the great God of love who is a consuming fire. Because he watched the agony and the pain of his only begotten son die for the sins of the world on a cross. He knows the hurt and he knows the pain that people go through. So he also knows at times like this, people fear. You get evacuated. You don't know what you're going to do or where you're going to go. When the emergency evacuation center at the RB Rec Center was set up, the police had asked all of us police chaplains to get as many as we could there. And so we started checking in, and I was given a list, and it puts it in perspective for you about suffering. Now look at this as I just turn the pages. This is every house that burned down in Rancho Bernardo. You know what the people needed? Some of them were really angry and said, get out of my face, get out of my property. Others fell down in the ashes and wept. Some just stood there stunned. But you're standing there. They realize you're a law enforcement chaplain. You belong in the area. They just want to talk. They don't know why. And you know, you can't fix things for people that are so broken and hurt, but you sure can listen and love them. You know, one man told us he felt the heat in his house in Rancho Bernardo and could hear the roaring of the fire. And he got up and he realized the place is on fire, the whole neighborhood's on fire. And he ran to the front door, and these words I'll never forget. It was like I opened the door to hell. The fires had consumed across the street and were coming right towards his front yard. He had given it a pocket for a draft to shoot through the doors. And as the flames came to him, he slammed the door and he went out the back way and his life was spared. But he opened a door to hell in the early mornings, pitch black outside. You know, the sun starting to come up and these flames and the soot and the smoke, the agony that this man went through in his house totally to the ground. And you think of God in the midst of these things. Where is God? What is God doing? And God uses his prophets to say, call a solemn assembly when things are going wrong and humble yourself in God's sight and let him speak and let him talk to you about these things. So I want to encourage you, verse 13, gird yourselves. That means get strong. Put on your uniform. Put on your innermost being and strengthen it. Make your gut tight and your mind strong and get your prayers going and get as close to God as you can in bad times. Gird yourselves and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, for you minister to my God, for the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. And then consecrate, set aside a time to fast and call a sacred assembly. Gather all the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. You know, on Monday, a police officer called me and said, I was over in the San Diego area, and I got a call from a friend, and he said, you know, I'm right across from Maranatha's high school, our junior high school in their school campus out here by Forest Ranch, and the flames are coming right at it. In fact, they're burning right across the street. And I said, oh, my goodness. And then I thought, nah, it's not going to burn down. And when I talked to Pastor Ray Bentley the other day, he had mentioned that, and I said, you know, I had a call from a cop who was right there watching it, and everybody figured it was going to burn. And we prayed together, and about 20 minutes, 15 minutes later, the wind shifted just as it started to come across and burn down the school there, and it went a different direction. If you've been in an area that's been hit, it's like, I remember the first cul-de-sac that I came upon, there were 6 houses in the cul-de-sac. House 1 was gone, house 2 was up, house 3, 4, and 5 were gone, but house 6 was up. And then there were cul-de-sacs where the middle house was gone, but all 5 or 6 others were there. And then you'd speak with people or see people, and they say, I don't understand. And the guilt would be there that their house wasn't touched, but the other houses were all destroyed. Now, Wednesday night, when we looked at our signs of the end times, we saw in Luke chapter 13 that Jesus said, I suppose you think because the 18 were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell down, that they were more wicked than all other Galileans in that area. He said, that's not so. So some people think that when judgment comes or disaster comes, that God's dealing with wicked people. Now, if you read the 8th and 9th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, you realize the wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon, says, there's no way to figure it out. I've put my heart and my mind to studying and meditating and learning wise things, and I've come to find out that good happens to all and bad happens to all, and when it happens, where it happens, how it happens, nobody knows. And there's no way to figure it out. But God knows, and he's figured it out. So don't fear in times like this. God is a God of love, and he himself is a consuming fire, and fear can paralyze you. And fear can stop you from moving forward. And one of the things for the Christian community is that fear will bring doubt and you won't pray or you won't get involved. And that's not the thing to do. At this time is the time that you're really praying. You're really hearing from God and you understand that you've been designed for this time. There's a little boy who is afraid of the dark. And he was in the kitchen drying off dishes, and his mom said, "I want you to go out on the back porch and bring me the broom." And it was nighttime. And he said, "No, Mom, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go out there. It's dark." And she said to the little boy, "Listen, son, you don't have to be afraid of the dark because Jesus is out there." And he stopped and looked at her, and she said, "Jesus is everywhere. He'll protect you." And he looked at his mother, and he asked, "Are you sure Jesus is out there in the dark?" He said, "Yes, I'm absolutely sure." So after a minute of thinking about that, little boy walked over to the back door, and he creaked it open and looked out in the dark, and he said, "Jesus, if you're out there, would you hand me the broom?" This is a good time to just ask him to hand you the broom, because the real disaster is going to begin this week. It's going to happen. Because the first day that they escorted people in and they saw their houses, it was just amazing. The hurt and just the memories and what happens to a heart. I think you saw in the paper on the news, the family that had a house on top of a hill out in that area. And they ran and hid in their garage, and the garage burnt to the ground. They didn't get out. But the couple next door, yesterday's paper had photos of them. They jumped in their swimming pool, and the flames jumped over them while they were in the swimming pool. But their neighbors didn't make it. You know, there's going to be a heartache that's going to go on a long, long time. This is the worst fire ever in our history, and it's just what Joel said. Have you ever seen anything like this? Have your parents ever talked to you about something this bad in your neighborhood? Have you heard from your grandparents? This is going to be something you're going to have to tell other people about, that it was so bad. You need to be aware that there's no reason to fear, because God is with you. You see, there is a future. And yes, Joel does talk about judgment, but there is a purpose. And the future is in God's hands. In Psalm 112 verse 4, it says, "Unto the upright, there is a light that shines in darkness." This is kind of a dark time for many people. As Philip had mentioned about Ramona, they're not too sure about all the water restoration and the electricity out there for those people. But somebody brought it to my attention as law enforcement chaplains came from around the United States and firefighters and police officers to help with the workload, that you realize you've only got two or three people that have been arrested for looting. And in Katrina, I was in a meeting being spoken to by a special team that was in Katrina that most people don't know about, of federal officers. And their whole job was to talk gently to the looters the first time. And do you know that one of the first things that happened in New Orleans was all the Walmarts and all the gun stores were looted? And every firefighter and every police officer knew that there were hundreds and hundreds of illegal guns in the hands of bad guys. And we heard some of these things that went on there. But in our community, I think because it is, in a sense, one of the more populated Christian spiritual communities, with the number of congregations of all sizes in our county, I think that God has spared us a lot. And when I think what our officials have done about marriage, you would have thought that God would have let all hell break loose. No, we have a loving God. We have a patient God. There is a light that shines in darkness to the upright. For the scripture goes on to say in Psalm 112 verse 4, "For he is gracious, full of compassion, and he is righteous." You see, there is a future. Even though it may look dismal, there's light shining. And there's two paths for every human being to choose from. You get to make the choice. I get to make the choice. Jesus said there's a broad road that leads to destruction, and many people go down that road, but it leads to death. And then there's a narrow path that leads to eternal life, and very few go that way. Every one of us gets the choice for the future of what we are going to do with our lives. And many of the things that we are experiencing today have to do with things we made choices of yesterday or a year ago or 5 years ago. Two paths for that future. You get to choose. You may not see a bright future, and you may not even see a future at all, because your situation has just flamed up in front of you and the door of hell is open, and you don't know how you're going to get through what you're getting through. But there is a God that says, "Sanctify you a fast and call a solemn assembly and gather together with the elders all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord." I think it's very cool that in Indianapolis, they'll be hooked up with our auditorium. And then Indianapolis is hooked up to all the churches in the East Coast and the Midwest. And they will start tomorrow praying and fasting. And on the internet and on their screens and their sanctuaries, on that side of the country, they will be praying from 4 and till we come online at our time at 7 here. And then it'll shift. And people in South America and Canada and different places, it's just cool how it's working out, that God has used us as a little prayer group. But if you've never been here, it's not just two people sitting down. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people before the week is over. And if we don't heed the Lord and we don't seek his face, then you've chosen the wrong path. And you will reap what you sow. These are the times that people should humble themselves. And on 9/11, September 2001, you sure would have thought that America would have been a humble people. But we haven't been. In fact, our crime has risen. Our decadence has lowered itself to new levels. You know, we get puffed into spending and buying and indebtedness. And now, thinking that everything was fine because real estate was going up, people are losing homes like never before in the history of the United States of America. You see, these are the times that you stop. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, said, when the anger of a king comes to you, don't bolt, don't run, just stand still and wait. Because conciliation shall bring everything to an even keel. Otherwise, if your boss is angry at you, don't just run out the door and say, I quit. Stand still and just wait and let the wrath go. Because the king has a lot on his mind. You never know. I went the other day down to police headquarters just to check in, see how the chiefs were doing. And up on the 7th floor, and the secretary said, nobody ever comes in here to be nice to us. Very few people come here and are nice to us. I can't believe this is happening. And I saw one of the chiefs, and I could just tell he had the focus. He was into his own. I said, just shake your hand. I'm out of here. We're praying for you. There's a lot of good going on. You know, this is a time for you to know God like you've never known him before. Because he wants you to know him like you've never known him before. There is a judgment, yes. Moses meets God at a burning bush. There was a fire. And when he saw that burning bush, what did Moses say? I'm looking at a bush that is on fire, but the fire doesn't consume the bush. I shall go and see why. And when he gets up to that fire, the voice of God comes out and says, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground where you are standing. And from that day on, that fire purified the heart of that 80-year-old man. Moses, in the judgments on Egypt, when he went to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, maybe. And he had a lackadaisical attitude towards God and the word of God. God brought fire down from heaven. Moses on Mount Sinai, if you'll turn to Exodus chapter 19, you will see the holiness of God has been in these people's hearts for so long. And it's not just at the end of the Old Testament in the book of Joel. It's from the very beginning that the people that know their God will be holy and they will fear their God and they will respect their God. In the 3rd month after the children of Israel had gone out of Egypt, the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. Moses went up to God and the Lord called to him from the mountain saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for you, all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came with good words, with a future. Yes, there's judgment, but there's a future and there's a hope with a loving God. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken to you, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, consecrate them today. Set them aside, just like Joel, consecrate yourselves. Step aside, God wants to visit with you. Fast and pray. Pull yourself away from the things of the world and your regular routine and let the living God speak to your heart. And so in verse 11, let them be ready for the 3rd day, and on the 3rd day the Lord will come down from down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set boundaries for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain, or you don't touch the base of the mountain. Whoever touches the mountain is surely going to be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned and shot with an arrow. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall then come near to the mountain. But remember, don't touch. And Moses went down from the mountain, and the people sacrificed. The people, and they washed their clothes and said to the Lord, they're getting holy and consecrated. Be ready for the third day to not come near your wives. And then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet and were so very loud so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely engulfed with smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. I found it fascinating to look at the satellite photos of all the smoke. It was so huge in Southern California. The satellites showed it from the Mexican border up to past Los Angeles. You know, it's an awesome thing that God would come down to earth. But he came in smoke. And he came in fire. And there is a mountain over there that they call Mount Sinai. Even today, as you sit here in San Diego, that is all blackened and nothing has ever grown on it. When God came down, he came with fire and smoke. And he said, let the people get ready for what's coming. Warnings have gone out a long time through the Bible. Warnings, warnings, good warnings of a future. There will be a Messiah, a Savior. Behold, he'll be born of a virgin. Behold, in the town of Bethlehem. God gave warnings in a positive manner that Jesus would come. But Jesus himself, in a positive manner, warned that I will come again in the signs of the times. One of the great ones, St. Paul says, is that people will have a form of godliness. They'll act like they're Christian. They'll act like they're religious. They'll act like they're godly, but they'll deny the power of godliness. And the power of godliness is able to speak to our hearts and say, come aside from your regular routine and consecrate yourself, for the Lord is coming back. You know, you stop and you think about Moses, you'd say, well, he's better than everybody else. But in Exodus 24, verse 15, it says, Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 whole days. And the 7th day, he calls to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. God spoke. The skies were filled with clouds, but then God spoke a week later. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and caught him and got him up into the mountain. And Moses was with the Lord for 40 days and for 40 nights. There's a purpose. There's a purpose for everything under the sun. There's a purpose for suffering. I was visiting somebody at the hospital yesterday and they said to me, I just don't understand the suffering. I'm suffering. You know, we do have to suffer. Jesus said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. We're all going to suffer. We're going to feel pain. But if you're deceiving yourself and you can't feel pain, you have a hard heart. If you can't prepare yourself when God speaks to you, you have hard, closed ears. You're not listening. When God pours himself out, it's going to bring a refiner's fire and a purification in your family and your marriage and your finances and in your health and in your attitude and your relationships and your friendships and your attitude to everything around you will be totally different because he will purge out of you the things that would pull you down. Look at the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, just before the Gospel of St. Matthew. And look at the 3rd chapter. Here's the 3rd minister of the Lord, crying out about this holiness of God. And you know, the law says that a thing would be established by 2 or 3 witnesses. And Malachi was the last voice that Israel ever heard for over 400 years. Do you know that? More than 400 years passed after the death of Malachi and his message here in these 4 little pages. They never heard again from God until Jesus came. It was silent. And then we have what's called the New Testament. But look here at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He can get the dirt out of anything. He'll go deep in your heart. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi's. He'll purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer to the Lord an offering of righteousness. And then the offering of Judah and of Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near. I'll come near you for judgment. I'll be a swift witness. I'll come against the sorcerers. That's the witches and the drug users, drug dealers, same word. Pharmacopa, the users of drugs and the dispersers of drugs and witchcraft. I'm going to come against, in a swift witness, against adulterers and against liars and against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans and against those who turn away any foreigner because they do not fear me. It all goes back to the fear of God. You have to ask yourself, do I fear God? Do you know that your very breath is in his hand right now? And he could just, like that man opening the door, take all the oxygen right out of your lungs right now? Do you fear him? Do you realize he is a refiner's fire and that he can burn all the dross out of you like a man purifying silver in a kiln or an oven? Yes, because they do not fear me, for I am the Lord. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. There's the loving God. Yet from days of your fathers, you have gone away from my laws and you have not kept them. Return to me. There's the loving Father, and I will return to you. Do you feel estranged? Do you feel distant from God? He's sitting there. He's still there. He says, I haven't moved. You need to return to me. Because he's not the one that changed. You are. You know, this says that in the New Testament, Jesus was talking to a very famous leader. And he said, marvel not that I say you must be born again. And that leader, Nicodemus, says, what do you mean born again? I'm too old to go back in my mother's womb. He said, you're a leader of the Jews and you don't understand these things? The wind blows back and forth. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. So it is with the Spirit of God. When it comes, you have no idea which way it's going to go. But marvel not that I say you must be born again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never die, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn this world, but he sent him into this world to save this world. But herein is the condemnation, that men love darkness more than they love light, and they won't come to the light because their deeds are evil, lest they be reproved. Here's the condemnation, that men choose the wrong path, that men choose not to return to the Lord, that men choose to let the pleasures of this world that we see can just in an instant burn up, control their hearts and their minds and their imaginations. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord. But you said, in what way shall we return? And then God said in answer, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? You have robbed me in your tithes and your offerings. So you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this entire nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, saith the Lord. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bring fruit for you to the field, saith the Lord. For all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. Isn't it interesting that Joel comes out and says, the economy's going dead, water's drying up, the vines are shriveling up, the fig tree isn't producing, people have hardened their heart, they have turned from God, you want to rectify it? Well, then make your heart right by God and start fasting and praying. Moses comes along and God says, put the fear of God into the people, Moses, and let them know there are boundaries. You can come near, but you cannot touch the holy things of God. And God came in a pillar of smoke and in a fire. You know, we may not know what our future holds, but we certainly do know who holds our future. And if God is in charge of your life, you fear nothing. Things may not look good, but we know the truth. In Romans 8:28, it says, "For we know that all things work together for good, for those that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his will and his purpose." Boy, it smells like smoke everywhere I drive. It looks like a fire has been everywhere I've been. Some places there still is flames. Boy, oh boy, will it ever go away? He has a fuller soap. It's like a lye almost. It just gets into the deepest stains. And he can clean the smoke away. And he can make, as it said, the women and the men were washing their clothes to get ready to meet the Lord. And God can scour to the depth of your soul the little itty bitty sins that you allow to happen. It wasn't a lie. I'm a Christian. It was a fib. It was a white lie. No, I didn't do that. It was her. It was the wife you gave me. No, it was him, the husband you made me marry. No, it was the people I work with. And everybody's wrong. And everybody's nitpicking. Everybody's murmuring. Everybody's backbiting. And nobody's humbling themselves in the sight of the Lord. But if my people who are called by my name will seek my face, that's what God said to the Jewish people. You see, for God is love. There's a lot of people that don't see that. In closing, a lot of people think that there is no need for God. There's a new movie coming out for kids this Christmas called The Golden Compass. And it's written by a man that hates Jesus Christ. And he has a trilogy. And he wrote these to combat C.S. Lewis in The Chronicles of Narnia. He wants to kill God in the minds of children, he has said. He wants them to see God killed and his Christ killed in these movies and in these books. You know, there's an onslaught coming. And you need to stand for righteousness and quit standing with the world, because God is separating. One day a group of Darwinian scientists got together and decided that man had come a long way and they no longer needed God. Now, they picked one Darwinian to go and tell God that they were done with him. And so the Darwin professor walked up to God and said, "God, we've decided that we people on earth no longer need you. We're to the point that we can clone people, and we can do miraculous things with stem cell research. We can abort babies, and we can do artificial insemination." And that's what he said. "We don't want you, God. We don't need you anymore. We got it all under control. So why don't you just go on and get lost somewhere?" And so God listened very patiently to this worldly man. He listened kindly to him, too. And the Darwinian was through speaking, and God said, "Well, very well. How about this, though? Let's just say we have a man-making contest, and let's just see if you're done with me." And the guy happily agreed, "We'll do it." And God added, "Now, we're going to do this just like I did back in the old days with Adam." And the Darwinian said, "Sure, no problem." And he bent down and grabbed himself a handful of dirt. And God looked at him and said, No. Go get your own dirt." God's not dead. He's alive. And because there's tragedy and disaster, "Fear not, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." And if you're suffering today, and you have every right to suffer, you do not need to feel guilty about suffering or questioning or shaking your fist or being angry or being upset. That's part of being a human being. And it is a reality. If you've been touched by something that causes suffering, you can freely react in that way. God's a pretty big God, but his desire for you is that you would be in heaven with him for eternity. "How do the beasts groan?" Joel said. "The herds of cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yes, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The flame has burned all the trees down in the field. The beasts of the field cry also unto you. The rivers of water are dried up in judgment, and the fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness." You see, ladies and gentlemen, in Hebrews 12, it says you have come to a mountain that you can touch. It's the Son of God. And you can work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And like Moses, we've been called to the mountain that is on fire, that our hearts would be on fire. And like Moses, we should tremble and fear before God Almighty, that the rain falls on the just and the evil. that God is in charge and we aren't. So we just let go and we let God. You can never forget this, for our God is a consuming fire. And he wants to purify your heart. He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to open up a door to hell for you. He wants to purify you and make you so simple and meek inside, as the Sermon on the Mountain, that you will be able to be a bright light shining in a dark community during tragic times like this. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Dear God, we thank you so very, very much for your love. We thank you so much for your warnings. We thank you that there is judgment, for without any of that, Lord, we have no ability to know right from wrong. We thank you that you set boundaries, and you tell us where to go and where not to go. And you call some people to be consecrated and to get closer to you. You call all people to call a solemn assembly of where people humble themselves and fast and seek your face. We pray for the United States of America today, Lord. We pray outside of our little circle of influence to the over 300 million that you'd open their eyes. You'd take these evil demon spirits that have pounced on our governments and on our education systems and on the homes and families. These wicked, vile serpents that's slithering around through cable networks and entertainment centers. And that you'd rebuke them and you'd burn them. You'd just take them and cast them away and give us a breathing time, Lord, that the air would clear on the seventh day and we would hear you speak. That you want to scour our hearts and make them clean. And you want to refine our souls and make them pure. May your Holy Spirit speak to people that they would see the fear of God brings cleanliness and purity. So, Father, we pray this day that your gentle hand would come upon the entire county, that you would be with these exhausted sheriff's deputies, these exhausted federal and county and city and state law enforcement officers, for all the thousands of firefighting personnel. We pray for safety. We pray that you'll help them physically and mentally through this. And then we ask, would you help the people? Please, God, would you help the people? Help them with the pain and the loss and the suffering. And we pray you rebuke all the price gougers, any looters, or people that would try to take advantage of the suffering. May you put your hand upon this county, and may we walk in an awesome, fearful cleansing, knowing that you are here. In Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm just wondering right now if some of you need to return to the Lord. You've been pretty worldly. Your heart, your mind, your motives, your attitude, they haven't been godly. God has spoken. And the fear isn't there. The holiness isn't there. The respect for the Lord hasn't been there for a long time. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, this is a precious time for you to speak with him. You feel it is time to stop this nonsense and return unto the Lord. I'd like you just to look up at me and raise your hand that I could remember you and pray for you. God bless the 3-4 of you there. Yes, up here. Yes, yes. I was about your age when I first raised my hand to the Lord. Anybody else? Yes, sir, I see you in the plaid shirt. Reverence for the Lord. It's so important in our lives. He's standing right here in our midst, and I know many of you can feel his presence right now. Just let him touch you and talk with you right now and humble you, soften you. The Christian thing has become a routine to you, and you don't fear him. You haven't had your feathers ruffled. We're very grateful, Father, for your love. We're grateful that you have a concept of prophets that would speak. We're very grateful that you still speak. And we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, for the tremendous price that opened up the door of communication between heaven and earth. May your love flood every family here. May every condominium, every apartment, every house, every Winnebago door that is opened by these people as they go home, just gush with peace and a change of atmosphere. May they just sense something has changed in their lives. And may we walk humbly before you, dear God, respecting you. And may you deal mercifully with us. And as we open our hearts, we love you. May you be magnified in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.